Thank you, Val. This morning's scripture reading is in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8, if you'd like to follow along as I read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. May God bless the reading of his word.
We are looking at where Jesus said, I am, and one of the things he said is the verses we look at today. I am the vine. If you notice Jesus in his illustrations from the many weeks we've been studying this, they're all illustrations based upon rural living, because Israel was very rural in its time, in its place, and back there was a lot of vines, a lot of vineyards, a lot of cattle, especially sheep, as Jesus has talked about sheep. Today we come to vines and vineyards. I grew up in a rural area on the other side of New York and thought I knew a little something about grapes and vines and vineyards. Then I moved here and realized I knew a whole lot less than I thought I might have known about vines, vineyards, and grapes. You see, my experience in eastern New York of grapes are they are downright nuisance. The only grapes we have are those wild ones. They grow in fence rows. And, you know, if you leave your fence rows kind of alone until they need trimming, or you take the wood out of them to trim them back, they get huge at the bottom, like the grapes here, and they encompass the entire tree, all over a maple tree. They'll just take over, and they'll just shroud the entire tree in vine. And for all this vine, 30 foot high, down the whole row of the fence row, there are very, very, very few little grapes on those things. They spend all their energy growing vine. They spend none of their energy actually producing anything. And so every once in a while you are in the business or job of having to cut the fence row or deal with these things. And what a nuisance they are to cut. They tangle, they twist, they limbs, branches, vines, it all becomes a mess of one. And you and your chainsaw are there to sort it all out. And I will tell you this, a chainsaw is able to help sort it all out as you just take indiscriminately cutting those vines off of the branches, harvesting what firewood you may want. And then you get done and you say, what do these stupid things grow here for? You know, just to make my life terrible and miserable. So that was my experience with grapes on a one-hand, you know, personal basis. And what good can come from a wild grapevine? Not much. There was very little good about them. And it also has a way of really distorting your view of when you try to actually raise grapes from a grapevine and a vineyard. There's a lot of differences. And so when you come to these verses, though I knew a little bit about grapes and vineyards, I really hardly began to understand what I can grab out of these verses now and say, oh, I can see that now. I understand how that works. And so when Jesus says, I am the vine, and we are his people, the branches, it makes a lot more sense to me now reading the verses. Now you're all saying, always made sense to me. Yeah, you grew up with these grapes. Of course it makes sense to you. But for a guy like me, it doesn't. And I'm saying all this because it's an eye-opener that when we realize that Jesus and even the people of scriptural times make reference to their society and their culture, sometimes what they would understand as meaning kind of like that can go right by us. some of that sheep stuff. You know, some of you were saying, I never knew that about a sheep. And I never knew that about a vineyard. And to not know that takes the illustration, and you lose something from the illustration. So you all ought to be the experts. We'll have you all come up. No, I won't. And then share this message. But there are things about grapes, and what Jesus does here is uses those things which we may take for granted as a part of grape farming, if you're involved in that, or if your neighbor's involved in that, and take and use it as an illustration that maybe perhaps you never thought of. So he said first, I am the true vine. And God the Father is the caretaker of the vineyard. And so from there he goes on, and first he's going to describe just some generalities about the vineyard. And to me, coming from where the vine was the weed, to here where the vine is the fruit, is a big difference. He starts in verse 2 and says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit he purges that it may bring forth more fruit. He says first, I'm the true vine, meaning that there are vines that aren't true. Why would you say I'm the true vine if you were the only vine? Remember we said not long ago, last a couple weeks, Jesus says, I am the way. What was that to mean? That he is the only way to God, to get to the Father. He says, I am the true vine. The only vine. The only true vine. That's different though, isn't it? Is Jesus the only vine? He doesn't say that. Here he says, I am the only true vine. He says, I am the way, but I am the true vine. That's because, as you all know, in the midst of your vineyards, other stuff grows. This is something I never thought of when, to me, a grapevine was a wild grape and it was a weed. I never gave it much thought that other things want to grow in the vineyard. And it's in late summer that all you grape farmers know those shumacs start popping up, don't they? Skip's back there, yep, we're cutting them off duly as we get to them, back through the trimming process. And guess what, Skip says, will they be back next year? More than likely. They want to be there. They want to share in the nutrients of the soil. They want to share in all that comes from being in the vineyard. They grow back. They're weeds. Skip, have you ever harvested a grape off your shumac trees? Never. There you go. I knew he'd say that. I could have asked any of our grape farmers, but Skip's looking to answer that one. Never. They don't grow grapes. They're not the true vine. They're in the vineyard. You know, when I walk in my garage, that doesn't make me a car. When you grow in a vineyard, it doesn't make you a grape. It doesn't make you the true vine. I never even realized this till I moved here and saw this other stuff that grows up that they have to keep cutting off. Jesus says, I'm the true vine because there's a lot of other vines that would like you to think they're the vine. And they're not the vine at all. They don't grow grapes at all. They don't get you to heaven at all. And there's a lot of religion in this world that is not the true vine, and it doesn't get you to God. Jesus says, I am the true vine. There's a lot of other pretending vines. I'm the vine. I'm the one you need, he says, in order to be a branch. If you are a branch on a shumac tree, or if you are a branch on some other little tree that's growing up in the vineyard, you will not grow grapes. You will not be considered to be a true vine. And when Skip or Mary Ann, I think more likely Mary Ann, comes through trimming away like mad, she's going to cut that off. And she knows it'll try to grow back next year, but she's going to cut it off. Because it's not a grape. It's not the true vine. It's not what they're looking to have. If you never cut those off, we have what I've noticed are abandoned vineyards. You notice what happens to a vineyard when you just stop taking care of it? Things grow everywhere. It's amazing how quickly it's filled with everything on top of the grapes. And it's amazing to me how quickly all that other stuff quickly takes over and destroys the grapes. And there's a lot of destructive human-made faiths and practices, works-based religions, that somebody had a great idea that maybe we should do this or maybe we should do that. Maybe you can get to heaven by doing this or doing that. And they're not the true vine. So Jesus first says, I'm the true vine. So you have to have him. And you can't be a branch in any other vine. Then he says, every branch that's in me, but it doesn't bear fruit. This is my paraphrase. Marianne cuts that away too. How's that for a pet phrase? Yes, that gets pruned out of there. If you were a grape farmer and you had a particular row, and it would be hard to have this, but a row that never produced one grape, season after season, year after year, fertilize it, water it, trim it, do whatever you can, but that particular row has never, 20 years later, had a grape on it. I know what every good grape farmer is going to do. I know just what's going to happen to that row. It's going to be replaced with something else. It's going to be taken out of there, replanted, or something, because the purpose is to have fruit. And so if you have a branch that never bears any fruit, if you have a particular plant that never has any grapes, what eventually are you going to do? Now this is more to like where I grew up. We did have apple orchards. And if you had an apple tree that never produced apples, I know what you considered of that apple tree, firewood. And you got rid of it and you planted something else. If it never produced an apple, and 10 years later you've had wonderful maybe leaves and great even spring flowers, but it never pollinated, never produced a single apple, you decide maybe we should start again and do something different. And so the Lord second is saying you can be attached to the correct vine, which is Jesus. You could be a branch, but is there fruit there? And if there isn't, for those who are believers in Christ and we never produce a bit of fruit, then there's a problem. And the problem will be that eventually the Lord will take and rid himself of that unproductive branch. Its time will pass. His care of it will pass. Some folks wouldn't bother to take that row out. They just let it go. Just let it go. It doesn't produce anything. It's on the edge over there. Just let it go. And so Jesus says there's a principle there that when you're in Christ, we are to produce some degree of fruit. Now, we'll talk about fruit in just a minute, so hold the thought until we get to verse 4 and following. But understand the principle. And then he says there's another thing that goes on. And this is the season of our grapes right now, and that is the purging season of getting rid of all of that non-vine that isn't the true vine. Second, getting rid of whole areas that may not produce anything. But then last, to prune the areas that do produce. And so he goes through and you prune every branch, you know, that beareth fruit, you purgest it. In other words, you trim it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And I guess I didn't realize this, but every branch gets trimmed. Every one of them. You know, all of you great folks don't skip rows. Well, we'll do that row next season. Every year, every row gets trimmed for the point of encouraging the harvest. And for those of us who are Christians, God's saying, expect to be trimmed back at times that we might be more productive. That's called the growth process. Now, I hate to bring this up. It's been going so nicely, talking about grapes and vineyards. But the growth process for us as Christians are more in the verses that say, when we need to grow, what happens? Our growth comes through trials, through troubles, through stretching of our faith. We all know some of those verses. We're not real fond of them necessarily. James chapter 1 has a set of those verses that talk about how do you know your faith is growing and it's producing more in your life? Well, it's when it's tested. It's when it's challenged. Every spring, the newly trimmed back grape vine and branch has to re-sprout in order to produce fruit. It has to put energy into growth. It has to redevelop itself because Marianne came through and cut it all up. So it is re-energized to put forth all kinds of growth. One of the things that amazes me more about grapes than perhaps anything is in the spring, they go from this little bitty butt of a wannabe leaf to a bush in 2 weeks. The growth is unbelievable how once they start budding and growing and the vine starts expanding, how quickly that growth takes place, how that plant is dedicated to, with the warmth of spring, to push out new vine and new branch and make place for those grapes that will eventually be on it and come forth, and that it'll be a solid, total coverage of the vineyard itself, the wood and the wires. And it just takes place so quickly. It's almost amazing. And that's what it's getting at here. Because I've seen those unkept vineyards, and they don't do that in the spring. They get a few buds on the existing vines that are already fully grown, kind of hanging everywhere, and they don't have this big growth period. And then I've also noticed they don't have much for grapes on them either. So this is the process. There's also something else I learned that was something I never thought of, and Tim's vineyard taught me this one across the street, is those who weasel in, not just as a looking like shumac trees, but fake grapes. In Tim's front row over here, for a while there, of course now it's a house, but it used to be a row, he had this area of these little bitty grapes. They were about bigger than a seed, but not much. And I asked him, what's with these things? Are they stunted? No, that's a wrong variety. They grow in there. And they're a grape, but they're a valueless grape. I mean, you'd have to harvest them till you never harvest enough of them to make juice. They're just these wee little things. And there they are mixed in the other grapes, mixed in. And of course, by the time, now Tim doesn't trim his own grapes, he leases them, but by the time Marianne, if she has any of those fake grapes in hers, comes through, probably the vines look very similar one to another. And very difficult to prune out those fakes. And those fakes would be kind of also part of verse 1 when Jesus says, I'm the true vine. This whole picture and the things I've learned about this make this to make sense when he then says to us, if we then are the branches and vines, the Lord being the vine and us being the branches, here's a picture. And that starts in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And with the background of the first three verses, of which much of which I did not understand really well, now look at how much sense that makes. In our daily lives, if we are in Christ, if we have come to him and believed he died for us, he saved us by dying on the cross to forgive us, and we personally by faith believe in that and take him as our Savior, determined that what he says is right, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. When we make that choice of belief and faith to follow him, we become the branches. And as branches, the first thing we need to know is without him, the vine, we can't do anything. It is not lost on me to see very clearly that Marianne or all you other grape trimmers out there were not trimming after all the fruit were green hanging on the vines and you were out there going trimming away. That wasn't the season. There was no trimming being done in August, was there? Nobody's out there trimming away all of those branches, cutting it right back like they will be in the next month or two or three or four or five. Nope. In that season, it was the growth of the fruit. And what does the fruit need? It needs to be firmly hooked, vine and branch together to create the fruit. If you go out there in the vineyard in the midst of the summer and snip off a few branches, what happens to those branches? What happens to that fruit? Well, it quickly dies before it ever will get to ripen, because those branches need the vine. They will do nothing without the vine. Separated from the vine, they're just waste laying between the rows. And so it is with us and Jesus. We may be a Christian. We may have trusted Christ as Savior, but how connected are you to the vine? You are the branch. Are you connected? Or are you hanging by the edge of the end, hoping for a little nourishment through what's left holding you on? That's not going to go well, is it? When he says this, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you need me. Without me, you're nothing. You can do nothing. You can't ripen your fruit. You can't grow your fruit. You cannot do anything without the Lord, who is the vine. Absent from the vine, the branch is dying. Absent from the vine, the branch will produce no fruit. And I think, as I now see grapes and understand grapes, it just makes such perfect sense. And it makes such sense that it makes me wonder, you know, some days am I out there like a branch without an attachment? Have I decided I don't need this vine anymore? I can make it on my own. I'm a pretty strong looking branch here. I can do this. I can make it. Marianne, come cut me off. Leave me, let me go. I want the freedom to get away from this vine. This vine constrains me. There's a big world out there. I got to see it. You know what happens to that Christian branch who says that? It's not going to go well, is it? For without the vine, the branch can do nothing. You know, sometimes we as branches, we are obstinate and we are foolish. And I've been all of that and more. We look at our vine and we look at the next row and we say, I'd rather be attached to the row next door. You know, I'd rather have that life. I don't like this row. This row maybe doesn't get as much sun as that row. I'd like to be over there. And we get a little fickle. We say, I'd like this, not that, Lord. And I'd like to go here and not do this. God says, go do this. I'd rather do that. Sometimes as a branch, we don't understand we are attached to the vine where He chooses to attach us. None of us choose to be born in the body you were born, nor the place you were born, nor who you were born to. He put you here. And whether you like it or dislike it, He put you here. And so we're attached to Him. And the minute we say, I can get away from Him and I can go join the next row, cut me off, Marianne. I want to go join the next row. Marianne obliges, cuts me off. And the first problem I have is I can't crawl over to the next row, more or less attach myself to the next row. And that's us as Christians. We don't abide in Him and dwell in Him and are happy where He's put us and content with what He's made us, content with how He's gifted us and how He's talented us or not talented us. We're always looking around for a better row. Maybe I could find a better vine to attach my little branch to. He says we should not be looking for some other row, some other vine. Abide in the place and in the vine where He put us. And draw from the strength of that vine to flourish where He has placed us. And to bring forth fruit where He wants us to be found. Understanding that without Him, who is the vine, who's placed us in that particular spot, we can't do a thing. Then it goes on, it says in verse 6, kind of telling us what I just illustrated, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. What happens to those branches that wither and die? Well, around here they actually do burn grape vines after the season. There are fires here and there, they stack them up in piles, burn them away. Cast them into the fire. I thought that was figurative. They actually do that. This dumb dairy farmer doesn't understand grapes. I drive up and down Route 20 and in the off season you'll see little smoke going up here and there and everywhere through the vineyards. It's not a camping event. They're not cooking wieners over it. Well, maybe they are, but the purpose isn't to have a wiener for lunch or a hot dog or a Salins, Lupa, have your Salins out there. The purpose is to burn up those vines, the old dead vines. They do burn them. I didn't really know that, but they do. And they are burned. And so this illustration means something. If you decide that you're going to escape the vine of Jesus and go your own road, you're going to be swept up with all the other dead branches that are kicking around and burned in a fire. In other words, he's saying it's not going to go well. But, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here's a relationship. We have the relationship of daily prayer. We have the relationship with God, which means we can approach Him and say, oh God, help me. Oh God, I have a need. Now God knows our need. It's not like we have to inform Him. You know, when your checkbook is in need, God isn't the last to know. Okay? He understands that. This is not informational praying. God, I've come forth, I'm going to pray because you need to know what I'm facing. He knows. He wants to hear from us that we humble our hearts and want his help, that we want to be attached as a branch to a vine. A vine that can sustain anybody's checkbook, and he will provide for your need in some way, somehow, someplace, in some area. He will make that provision if you place your faith and trust in him. When things are going poorly, even when there's a pruning process and some of the end of the dead wood of your branch is cut off and you say, I'm shorter now, God is still the vine. And you're still attached. And he still wants his life flow of spirituality, provision, help and strength to flow into you as a branch. You see, verse 7, a lot of times we talk about prayer, but we talk about it as if we're just telling God a few things, asking for a few things, going on our way, and not thinking about it again. Prayer is a part of the branch so closely aligned with the vine that we have the life answer from God coming through because of the attachment. And then what does that produce? Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. God is glorified in that you understand your relationship to the Father. You pray to the Father, you're close to the Father, you follow the Father. And then as the last end thing, not only is God glorified, but then what happens in verse 8? That ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The end result of it all is that fruit. Well, what are we talking about when we talk about bearing fruit for God if you're a Christian? Well, a lot of times we talk about bearing fruit like a grape. And so we can talk about that. You ever notice, and I didn't even think of this until more recently, you ever notice out there in the vineyard when all those grapes were hanging out there, and there was seemed like a lot of them this year, they were all out there, all over. You ever notice that grapes and grapevines and branches don't eat grapes? Sounds simple, doesn't it? They produce grapes for what? Their own eating? No, as a matter of fact, you go to your garden, virtually none of your garden produces fruit for its own food. Now, yes, if you have a big mulch pile and mulch it down for another year, you can get some value out of it. But that's not the point. A grape vineyard produces fruit for who? Others. And it's interesting to me, so the fruit here that we're referring to, first of all, like a grape, is fruit not to benefit the producer, it's fruit to benefit others. The much fruit we as Christians produce doesn't just self-benefit us, though it may, because God's really beyond just the blessing of a grape illustration. But the principal illustration is, where did all those grapes go that were out there a month ago? I've noticed they're missing. Have you noticed that? They're missing. Where did they go? They went to benefit the people who will drink grape juice and eat grape jams and jellies, and they went and were processed. They didn't go to the benefit of sustaining the plant. They went to the benefit of those who are being sustained by the plant. We live in a world that's sustained by our righteousness, that's sustained by us helping them, praying for them, being concerned about them, loving them, caring about them. Our fruit is not just to benefit me. It benefits my family, my children, my parents, my neighbors, my friends. People I don't even know benefit from the fruit of my life, as I might stop to help them or minister to them. Or somebody on this list. I once heard it said, well, you know, I don't know most of the people on this prayer list. Do you not think because you don't know them when you pray for them, they're not benefited? No, you're touching the vine that you are a branch meshed into. You don't have to know them to help them. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to know somebody to help them. I've heard people say, well, what can I do? You can pray for a whole bunch of people you don't know. Well, what'll that do? You may never find out what it did, but I can tell you this. If you're attached to the vine will help them because he says he will. Because you prayed. Do we understand that there are people who are miraculously ministered to, not because they deserve it, not because they know the Lord, not because they give a care in the world about Christ, but because you prayed for them? You know, somebody comes to work and says, I had this great thing happen to me. They don't have anything to do with God or Jesus, but you prayed for them. May not know it for sure, may not have any assurance that it's 2 plus 2 that does equal 4, but is there not a chance because you prayed for them? God did something for them because you prayed? Because you are attached to the vine and the vine is bringing forth fruit through you? Isn't that possible? We may never know the people we prayed for and were helped, maybe even their lives spared, because we simply prayed something. Because they were on our list, and well, I don't know who these people are, but I'm going to pray for them anyway, that God will help them. You see, that's how God can work. Grape farmers out there, do you know everybody that drinks the fruit of your vineyard? Do you know everybody who goes to growers and buys their concentrate, Marianne? No. It just goes out to benefit. That's what we're talking about here. The fruit that comes out of our life just benefits. We may never know who it benefits, but our fruit goes out to benefit those we touch. Neighbors, friends, family, yes, all of those. Strangers, complete unacquainted people that we've never met or may never meet. You know, I always find it interesting. Sometimes I'll note it when I send out a prayer request that the person is in a different locality. Don't go looking up, you know, that you're going to find them here. They don't live here. Oh, California, that's too far away for my prayers to have an effect. Not so. Not so at all. You know, that's the fruit that comes that glorifies God. And it certainly does glorify God because who answered the prayer request? Did we answer it? Did I run to California to help somebody out of a deep problem they're in the midst of? No. God helped them because I approached him and said to my vine, here's something I know of that's a request. God asks you to help whatever the need is. And God springs to action. And God receives the glory. And so in this picture that we have here, we are the branches. But I also noted this in God's amazing way that he sets things up, and even in the illustration, if your vineyard next spring never grew any further branches after you trimmed it, never restored leaves and had that growth, how many grapes and how much fruit would you get from it? Probably not much, correct? Tom's thinking about it down there. He's thinking, yeah, we got to have a lot of growth out there. That's the first thing we got to have. Got to have the growth. Notice in this illustration, the vine doesn't produce the fruit without the branches. You know, there may be a quick sprout out of a pretty rough, big, you know, vine that gets a little fruit on it. But the fruit is all where at the end, isn't it? It's on the branches that grow back and restore every year. God has given us the job of being the branch. Sometimes we, like even in this sermon, I'm tempted to say, he's the vine, and leave it at that. But the vine isn't doing all the work. He says, I'm giving the work to do of fruit to who? The branches. Without the vine, we're dead in the water. But the vine without the branch isn't a picture either. It's a relationship of the vine and the branches, both important. Now, I would certainly say that the vine is more important than the branch. I think that's true. But please don't de-emphasize that God has called you as a Christian and a believer in him to be a branch, to produce fruit, and that stuff that he's not doing separate from you. In his plan and in his economy of how he's doing things in this time, could God come down with angels and do all the work? Could he send an angel to preach this Sunday? Absolutely. Would it have been a better message this one? Without question. He could send angels to do everything he wanted done down here. Couldn't God do that? Certainly he could have. He chose to not do that. He chose to do it differently. He chose to do his work through who? Flawed vessels like me and you. He said, you are the branches. I'm the vine, but you are the branches. Go forth, rely on me, and bear much fruit. Fruit that will bring glory to the Father. That's what he's called us to do. That's what him being a vine is. I trust that we will be branches. And unlike the branches of grapes, there is one big difference here. I've noticed this. For the next 6 months, there's no fruit in those vineyards. Have you noticed that? There's no life in those vineyards for about 6 months. They're pretty quick to lose what few leaves they got left on them. And they will be a stark-looking place going out in the vineyard. You know, to me, it's almost in January depressing. Snow flying through the vineyard. It looks like it's all dead and just derelict and nothing left. The difference between us as Christians and those vineyards are that we produce fruit year-round. We're not just a seasonal thing. This statement, using the illustration of the vineyard, the vine and the branches, while those vineyards are seasonal, we Christians are not. We bear fruit in all seasons. We follow the Lord in every time. Good and bad, cold and warm, rich and poor, old and young, it doesn't matter. We are to bear fruit in all the seasons of life as we go through it. That is the one huge difference between us and this illustration. May God help us to thus, this week, bear fruit. Because every week is fruit-bearing season. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the many things that the Word of God says and speaks to our heart and helps us to understand the truths that you're trying to convey. And this illustration, when Jesus said he is the vine, is just a wonder of illustration of what that means. And so may we as the branches firmly hook up and link ourselves to the life-giving power, blood, and sacrifice of our Savior, who today, with the power of the resurrection, desires to empower us, giving us strength over temptation, strength over sin, victory over things that we're trying to gain victory over, power and strength to things that are bothering us, hope where there's hopelessness, peace where there's discomfort. There's so many things that you do. And then answer to prayer. And even this prayer we pray, you will answer. And use this time that we've spent together in all of our lives that we might indeed bear much fruit. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.